The Divine Comedy and National Express. Aren't those lyrics so clever? I love it. I love it. Hello and welcome to Live and Local with BB Lynch, Dame BB Lynch. We have a brilliant show lined up for you tonight. We have music, we have guests, we have probably award-winning radio till 10 p.m. Shall we do it? Harry Styles and Treat People With Kindness. Whatever you say, Harry. He's so adorable, isn't he? If you've seen him on SNL, he's so funny. I heart Harry. I'm not afraid to say it. 54, heart Harry. And also I said heart Harry and I keep repeating it. Heart. Hey, so I was going to tell you all about my new washing machine and my fridge freezer, but I think I've broken the fridge freezer. This lockdown is having such a bad effect on my... I'm always straddling bonkers, but right now, I don't know. It's extreme. I might write and tell you individually what happened with me and the fridge freezer. I can't go into it too much. But what I can go into is tonight's show. Let me tell you about tonight's show. From 9, we'll be enjoying an hour of upload, hearing your great contributions and chatting with one of the creators. And in a few minutes, I'm so happy to be speaking to him. I'll be speaking with the brilliant Brighton-based poet Brendan Cleary. It's going to be a great show, so please stay with us. Jennifer Lopez in the morning, fresh from her triumph at Joe Biden's inauguration day. Did you watch it? It was hours and hours and hours long, wasn't it? And I loved every second. I'm really happy to introduce my first guest tonight. Welcome to Live and Local, brilliant Brighton-based poet, literary blues man, Brendan Cleary. Hi, Brendan.
Hello, baby.
How do you feel about literary blues man?
I have good news. Into that as all the blues, or I'm steeped in the blues, you know.
I love that. I really thought that was just such a great description. How are you?
I'm not too bad, thank you, and I hope everybody's well yourself. I hope everybody's grand.
Yeah. I think. Are you? How's lockdown 8002 treating you?
Well, everybody's probably really quite stressed. The best we can do is just. With it, you know, and hope for the best. Yeah, you know, I'm still here. So I'm a bit like that, you know, I'm listening to a lot of the blues.
Yeah. Have you?
Yeah.
It's been your music of choice.
Yeah, but the blues are not always, the blues is not always unhappy music, you know. Yeah, it's my choice of music.
I want to say B.B. King's guitar, Lucille.
I beg your pardon?
B.B. King's guitar, was it called Lucille?
Yes, indeed, yes. I mean, B.B., I think my hearing is probably higher than Wolf, or possibly Ray Charles, actually, you know.
Oh. Would you say Ray Charles is blues?
Ray Charles was blues, country, soul. Ray Charles, when the term genius is bandied about now a little bit extravagantly, now there was a genius, you know. Ray Charles invented music, really. I mean, it's not just the blues, it's blues and soul, country music, and it's roots music, it all is interweaved.
Oh, you're making me want to revisit Ray Charles.
Well, yeah. Nobody could I'm doing that.
It's a great place to go. How's it
it's
been?
Jazz music as well, of course, yeah. Right? You know, yeah. it's all the same music. That's the point. It's roots music, you know.
And it's where it's from.
Country and blues and soul, they all blend into each other with a strong element of the church in the background, yeah. Initially.
Yeah. Yeah. I know, because you DJ as well, don't you? We'll talk about your poetry in a sec, but you...
Well, formerly I did, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
One would not be. I think it would be a very long time to... Either myself or any other DJs, you know, which is a sad state of affairs.
Do you miss it?
I miss it very much, yes. Yeah. It's good to bring joy to people.
Yeah. Oh. Has it helped being down here, though? Because I'm, you know, from London, but I've moved down here a few years ago, and I think I'm glad I'm down here right now. The sea seems to be the only thing that's keeping me levelish.
Well, I'm a very big fan of Brighton. Obviously, as you can hear from my voice, I'm not a native of Brighton, but I love Brighton. I've been here over 20 years and have no desire in the UK to go anywhere else. You know, I think it's the most fantastic place there is in the UK.
What made you come here?
initially a love affair.
Yeah.
But nothing lasts, as we know, baby.
So. Oh, don't say that, Brent. I've already broken a fridge freezer today.
Okay, well,
don't break my heart.
No, initially that, but you know, prior to that, I was living in the Northeast, which I had many, many happy years, you know, in Newcastle.
Oh, I love Newcastle.
Well, you asked.
No, I did ask. I did ask. Of course I did. Tell me about, so Do Horses Fly, that's your latest collection?
Yeah, Do Horses Fly came out about the May before last. That was a collection which was rare for me because it had a sort of more slightly academic feel to it because I was looking at the photographer Edward Muybridge's work in relation to motion and the very famous story about Muybridge was that he proved that a horse running that all four hooves left the ground at the one time. But he also took fantastic panoramic photographs of San Francisco, and he was very much a pioneer of his time. And so I was trying to relate in many ways the contemporary time we have, Silicon Valley, with the birth of early cinema, which is what brought me into my interest in Muybridge. But very unusual for me, so it was a sort of sidetrack when I did that book.
Yeah. And were you happy that you did that? Was it a happy tangent?
I was very, very happy. It was something I wanted to do for a long time. Kingston Museum had the Muybridge collection, so I was there, you know, in conjunction with the curator, and she was Sue Young Kim. She was very helpful. And it was a successful project. It's published, you know. But I've moved on to back to my sort of more ribald writing.
Have you found the pandemic and lockdown, I guess, has it affected you creatively?
I was just writing very, very creatively just before it, and now I find myself stuck at times, but there's a lot of pressure for all artists, I think, to feel as though they have to respond to it. Yeah. So my poems, you know, I have done, but in a much more oblique way. And I think if I were a writer or a musician, it would be different, or a painter. Poets, you see, have the luxury of doing very much for very, very often because you can't try too hard. And so if you're a writer, you'd be chipping away at your novel, mm-hmm. you know, doing the 200 words a day. And so it's not, I can't say it's affected me mentally, but it also it makes me thankful that I evolved a craft so long ago, and that there's somewhere I can go to find a sense of my own autonomy and a sense of something. So it makes me reevaluate poetry and realise how fantastic a thing it is, how glad I'm immersed in it.
And why poetry? Because you obviously really love music. So why poetry as opposed to songwriting, like lyrics?
Poetry is music.
Yeah, so you don't need to add the music.
Question. Well, poetry is music. You're listening with your ear. You're composing it with your ear in the same way as a musician would compose. Poetry is music. Yeah. And, you know, that's... and also, it's just... I can't play music. I lack the ability to play musical instruments. So DJing helps that. But and also, my poetry, has been influenced by other poems and poetry. But also, growing up, music, you know, contemporary music, has been a great influence on my poetry writing.
You're a poetry tutor too. I find that really interesting. This is going to be such a dumb thing to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. Can it be taught? Because it would seem to me of like of the art forms the least teachable.
It's arguable that it can't be taught. However, there are certain things that are common aspects that people come across in the process of writing a poem. So one can guide people and say, you know, for example, you know, I mean, if you were to say, "I felt angry," you were telling the reader that you feel angry. Whereas if you were to say, "I kicked the door," you would be showing the reader that you're angry. So therefore, to ask whoever's written the poem, are you telling or showing? And it doesn't mean either one or that is better than the other. So there are certain things that you can actually come up with that are going to help each individual poet, but they're only guidance, because ultimately, as Michael Longley, the fantastic Irish poet, said, "If I knew where poems come from, I'd go there."
Yes, I'd move in immediately.
Yes, yeah. But you can be helpful with raising these issues. Like, for example, does a poet use an adjective or not? And look at what happens. And so it gives back to the students the idea of helping them to reevaluate how they write themselves and to look at it and see whether or not they, you know, have you considered this? So, you know, if they take your advice, it doesn't matter. But you can't actually teach them, here's how you write a poem. But you can be a guidance.
Yeah, so guiding the students, has that kind of coloured your poetry in return?
Not really, no. I mean, the whole thing is that poets develops, if they're worth their salt, they develop their own distinctive way of writing. And a lot of people might not care for my work, but I do think a lot of people, if they read it without the author's name being there, that they would think, "I know who wrote that."
Oh yeah, which is
kind of, and that's taken a very long time, you know, and it's a very long time, and it's still not. But you know, and that's just sticking at it, you know.
Could we hear something?
Well, yeah, I could go back to my greatest hits of the past, or I could read a more contemporary, shorter, new poem.
Which one do you want to do?
I kind of think I'll do the short one, actually, you know, because it's the last poem I wrote.
Yes, definitely.
How does that sound? I mean, if I did my famous sort of performance poetry era, you know, and they're serious poems, even though there's laughter, you know. But this one is the most recent poem I wrote, so I'll read this, shall I?
Okay, thank you.
And I think it's relevant to these times. It's called Dog Days. No bones, forlorn, slumped in the porch. My dog Finn won't relish these times. The zeitgeist, and nor will I without you. And when I call, your answer is too vague, so we will never walk the downs. Trees shining in the background, Finn jumping up on your cardigan, or sprinting about to pick up many sticks. Just a little set of images.
Brendan, that's so... Do you know what? You're brilliant. I knew you were brilliant, but that was really gorgeous.
Well, the whole point about any poem is that it's not a short story. It's about economy. It's about what you have left unsaid, as well as what you've said.
And to be concise is the goal.
Well, that's why the poems differentiate them from stories. The white parts behind the poem are really important. The page behind the poem and the gaps in between verses or stanzas of poems are really important.
Do you think
you wouldn't see the stars at night without the dark sky behind
You see, you can't help yourself, can you?
I can't help myself writing poetry. It's saved my life. It's been my life, if you see what I mean. I'm very happy it has. You know.
What you do know. You think's going to happen?
Obviously, my bank balance reflects this.
We yeah, can't have right. everything, apparently.
No, where would you put it, as Mr. Yeah, Cooper Clark said. Yeah. Well,
what are your... well, I mean, it's a dumb question again, but, you know, poetry, you can still publish. What are your plans for this year? Are you, where do you see your work going? Or?
Well, I have a new book of poems in September. And from a press in Los Angeles called Red Hen. It comes out in September. September the 28th, to be exact. I think it should be available in the UK. And believe it or not, during the pandemic, a press in Scotland produced a little booklet of mine called If I'm Lucky. And so, obviously, my plans are to build on the next book. You see what I mean? Like the book from America is called The Other Place. And I don't mean the House of Lords or Hove, but the next book is a get on title. I've already started to build on that. The poem I just read to you will be in the next one. Just have to keep on going. You know?
You have to keep on going. Our mutual friend Anna told me all about you, Anna Goodman, and I was like,
a fantastic woman.
Yeah. I love Anna, and I was like, I must chat to Brendan, and I really hope one day I can meet you and come down to one of your. I mean, do you perform your poetry often down here? Not now, obviously.
Less and less, but occasionally. Poetry in Brighton is a very vibrant scene, and I suppose that, a lot of people are doing the internet, the Facebook and Instagram, and I don't do all of that stuff, so I don't tend to. I did a tour of Brighton with the poet Gary Goodman, Worthing's Finest, in 2000 and I think it was 2015, and we toured Brighton. We did little pub gigs. You know,
I love the sound of that.
Oh, that was fantastic. That was Gary, a fine poet and artist, Worthing's Finest, and we will be back. So look out for the Brighton tapes.
Let's do that, and I'll support you. I don't know what.
Well, I'll be in touch with you closer to the time. You know. But we need to get back to. You know, the place, the venue's been open again. It's terrible for any human being. Never mind a performing artist.
Step at a time, isn't it? So if we can't find you on social media, how can people keep up with what you're up to?
Pretty difficult, isn't it, if you're a cult figure? I'll find a way of being in touch with you.
What are you doing the rest of the night? You got anything? You got anything nice planned?
No, I shall just perhaps put a bit of blues music on. I don't know what yet, but I'll maybe put the blues on and shuffle on my media player, it's getting really quite past my bedtime. Actually,
I
get up very very early, so. That might also be another option.
Okay, go Beebies. Brendan, it's so lovely. Thank you so much for reading your poem to us. It was fantastic.
Well thank you, Beebe, and thank you for your interest. And take care of yourself, and everybody take care of themselves too.
And you, and hopefully see you soon.
I hope so.
Take care,
you
Brendan.
Go. Bye. You. Bye. Bye.
Wasn't that poem fantastic? God, I really wish I could have any talent. Let's have a little look at the weather. This evening and tonight, it will be dry tonight with long clear spells, rather cold with a widespread and sharp frost, minimum temperature minus 4 degrees Celsius, that's 25 degrees Fahrenheit. And tomorrow, after a frosty and clear start, it will be a dry and sunny morning, but cloud and rain is expected later in the day. An increasingly breezy day, maximum temperature 6 degrees Celsius, that's 43 degrees Fahrenheit.
Phoebe Lynch. BBC Radio Sussex.
Oh, Neo and Miss Independent. Miss Independent, you should have seen me today. I mean, I'm going to say I installed a fridge freezer. I plugged it in. But, you know, you're supposed to leave it for 4 to 5 hours. So I left it for 4 to 5 hours. And then I moved it into the space and did something. And then I plugged it in. And then I was paranoid it wasn't quite in the right space. And then I moved it. And then I moved it again. And now I'm really worried that I've undone the 4 or 5 hours of keeping it. Why is it supposed to be kept still? What's it? Oh, it's just so complicated. I would honestly marry someone just so they could move fridges for me. Becky Hill, Shift Key, and Better Off Without You.
BBC Radio Sussex.
So if you're a dog owner, there's nothing quite like a calming walk on the beach. But that joy almost turned to tragedy for Gwyn Parks and his Springer Spaniel Winnie when she became unwell during a recent outing. Luckily for Winnie and Gwyn, support worker Neil Kearsley was also on the beach in Devon at the same time. And here's their story. What an extraordinary story. Oh, Winnie. It's so great to hear Winnie's on the mend. That was owner Gwyn Parks and doggy lifesaver Neil Kearsley after their dramatic trip to Exmouth Beach in Devon. What a story. This is Zara Larsson and Lush Life. Zara Larsson and Lush Life. I have two people in my life that use the word lush. Producer Sam and my friend Shelley. I love it. Lush. We have a text. Is this from my builder? BB, not moving a freezer for 4 to 5 hours is to let the fluid in the pipes lose any air bubbles. It don't like being shook. I'm available for moving fridges. I bet you are. So look, okay, that's good. So I let it stand. I'm so sorry about this, everyone. I can't imagine how tedious this is, but I do need to get this out of my system, not unlike the air bubbles. So I let it stand for 4 to 5 hours, but then I plugged it in, right? And then I had to jiggle it to put it back in. And then I was like, oh no, maybe it's the wrong place. So I jiggled it out. So I've jiggled it a few times, fitting it back into the space. And now I'm concerned that I've undone the 4 or 5 hours stationary positives. Do you know what I mean? Oh, I just need to be adopted or something. So anyway, yeah, I've moved into the flat. I love the new flat. I genuinely love the new flat. I think it's going to be so beautiful. If only people could visit. Declan McKenna and Rapture. I feel I should apologise for talking about my fridge freezer, but I am going to ask one more thing about it. So if I have jigged it too much, okay, and also I think it's not the right height. I don't think it's an even height, both sides. Oh, okay, so if I have jigged it too much, what will happen? If I have jigged it too much and I've put the air bubbles back in or I've done something awful to whatever the liquid is, I have no idea what I'm talking about, what will happen? Will it blow up? Am I in danger? I just want cold food. It's all I want in life. It's not all I want, but it's kind of, looks like it's all I'm going to get. And I might not even get that, let's be honest. Ooh, I tell you what I do want to ask you. I finished Staged and I loved it. Series 1, Series 2. I just loved it. And I need a new watch, not timepiece, a new show to watch. And I'm wondering what you recommend. I really thought Georgia Tennant was so brilliant, so funny. Her comic timing is absolutely brilliant. She's Peter Davison's daughter, isn't she? And her mum is, I want to say, Sandra Dickinson. So she comes from great acting and comedy pedigree. If that's not her mum, I apologise to Georgia and to Sandra Dickinson, but I think that is her mum. So what should I watch? What are you watching? I did watch something called The Rep- No, not the repair shop, because everyone said how lovely that is, but it's something called Money for Nothing. And it's because I'm really into that, kind of finding just trash and making it look lovely, kind of like my career. And I really enjoyed that. And there's millions of series of that. But I think I want something funny. I think I want some comedy. And there is something that everyone's been going on about. I'm not going to say what it is because it's not on the beep. But I can't watch it because I think it's going to be too sad. And I don't think my brain can take that right now. I need something funny. Maybe Georgia Tennant's been in something else. She made me laugh so much. I think her relationship with David Tennant is a relationship goals that I want to... I'm wondering if me and Harry Styles will be as happy as they are. I don't know. I've got 5 children. So I love Georgia Tennant. So if you can recommend anything that Georgia Tennant may or may not be in, please do let me know. If there's a way that you can tell me what's going to happen to me now I've messed up my... Oh, a bit of your jiggle will be okay. Don't fret. Oh, are you sure? It's the bumping up the stairs on the freezer's back it doesn't like, from your helpful tradesman, Steve. Oh, Steve, thank you so much. Genuinely, Steve, I've been so anxious about this all day. You're a star. Thanks, Steve. God bless you. I keep saying God bless and it's really upsetting my friend Miranda. So let me know what I should watch. You can text me 81333 and start your message with the word radio. I'd love to know, how you're spending your lockdown 893. Meanwhile, this is Razorlight and America. Razorlight and America. Oh, Steve, you've really reassured me. I think I might have to get Steve on speed dial and just ring him about every issue I have. So I also got a washing machine the other day and I plugged that in and it took me 2 days to even try working. Just so worried it wouldn't happen. We've got the news, and then after the news we have Upload with some special songs and some special moments and a very familiar track. Ollie Murs and Dance With Me Tonight. You know what time is? It's Upload time. It's time for our first Upload of the evening, and it's a track from Upload favourites, The Circle. Here's their version of an old Georgian folk song called Nana.
Live and local.
Upload.
BBC Radio Sussex.
The Circle and Nana. Oh, I love this stuff. That's an old Georgian song called Nana. And Duncan, the bassist from the group, who's originally from Crawley, he's with us now. Hi, Duncan.
Hello, BB.
Your stuff is so gorgeous.
It is. Isn't that lovely? I really enjoyed that. It's an absolutely beautiful track from Georgia, which is just between Russia and the Middle East. So it's wonderfully exotic.
So we've played, I think, about 3 or 4 of your tracks because we just love you so much. Who are The Circle?
Well, we're a bunch of friends who happen to be pretty good musicians. We sing, we play a variety of quite interesting instruments, and there are one or two guest artists. So we've got James Bowman, who's probably the most famous countertenor in the world, who lives in Surrey, and he's singing on it as well. So we're quite a crew.
Dear, how long has this crew been together?
Probably only about a year or so. It was the idea of Ashley Goodalls, and he put us all together and found some really interesting music, and we recorded it in a studio just outside of Oxford during lockdown, all COVID safe and all that.
Yeah.
I think we sort of got in some windows where we were able to do it. So it's quite sort of poignant from that point of view as well.
So did Ashley get you all together because of lockdown, because of what was going on?
No. I think it was just coincidental. I think the idea had been sort of bubbling in his head very sort of passionately, and then got us all together. And of course, this latest thing sort of hit us.
Yeah.
But we were able to carry on anyway, sort of in between the lockdowns, I guess.
How many are you? Of you are there?
I think there are about 6 or 8 of us on the album. About 6 singers and about 5 or 6 instrumentalists as well.
See, because I want to see you perform live.
Yeah, well, we did a bit of that last Christmas. again in between sort of locking down, and had a huge crowd around some churches in Oxfordshire. Oh. And as soon as we can get out to perform, I'm sure we will.
Oh, honestly, your stuff is just, it's mesmerising. It just
it is lovely, and yeah. and it's sort of real sort of feel good music. It's very, it's a real eclectic mix.
Yeah,
going back centuries, and music written quite recently.
Oh, do you as well?
Yeah, with as I say, some quite unusual instruments. In fact, I've got one of them sitting on my sofa, as one does.
So producer Ollie, I'm not sure if you met producer Ollie. He's a very lovely man, Duncan, but he's trouble. And he wrote something up on the screen. I was like, I'm not sure if he's teasing me because I think he likes to ridicule me on air. Crumhorn. I'm going to say crumhorn. What's your response?
Exactly. It's a lovely instrument. Think King Henry VIII, and a lovely buzzy sound. King Henry VIII owned several of them, and it's the shape, if you can imagine a hockey stick with an extended curve and a very buzzy sound. Would you like a quick,
very
quick burst? I think this might be a world first, a live crumhorn on the radio. Here comes a very, very quick burst.
Duncan, that was amazing. I'm giving you an applause.
Good, thank you.
How brilliant.
Quite unusual, isn't it?
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
Yeah, and there's a whole array of different crumhorns in different sizes. You've got the recorder fingering, and you've got a descant crumhorn treble all the way down to bass. So imagine six of that lot. What a racket that would be.
And you are... Have you played the crumhorn with the circle? Because you're the bassist too.
Yes, I sing bass in the choir, and I play the crumhorn on two or three of the tracks. So you can hear that instrument if you get the album.
Oh, everyone's going to get the album.
Or download some of the tracks.
I'm giving that out in a sec. I know you've had the kind of joy of working with the circle during all this lockdown and stuff, but how's it? I asked our first guest, Brendan Cleary, earlier about how lockdown has affected him creatively. How's it affected you?
Well, I've had a lot more time to sort of think. I mean, I've been enjoying the home comforts, but I've just had a lot more time. And I've done a tiny bit of composition myself, which has been quite satisfying, and I've been able to listen to a lot more music as well. But it's also a time to relax a little bit and just take life at a much, much slower pace, which I have quite enjoyed as well, because it was somewhat frantic, shall we say, before lockdown. I think despite it being a very, very difficult situation and absolutely dreadful for an awful lot of people, there are occasionally just one or two silver linings, I think, to look out for.
What's the worst habit you've developed?
Oh, gosh. A glass of wine or two most nights, and getting slightly indolent, but in quite a satisfying sort of way, and having one or two favourite sort of terrible programmes during the day. Apart from that, they're my only sins.
Well, that's... I mean, you're a saint.
Something like that, yes.
It's so lovely to chat to you. Let me give the information. So the Circle's album, Songs from the Heart, is available on all digital platforms and via their website, circlemusic.co.uk. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. Oh. Perfect.
Listen, it's lovely to speak to you. And
you too.
Everything the Circle does, it sounds so beautiful. So hopefully we will see you live soon.
That's brilliant. Absolutely. Very much hope so.
Oh, take care.
Thanks for having me. Thank you. Bye-bye.
So, like the Circle, you know, you should send some stuff in. Like, the days are short, but we're getting more daylight every day. So there's, you know, some light there, some inspiration. Send us something light and uplifting. The Circle's music, it heals my heart. I love it. So if you have anything that you're creating right now, get it to us. Head over to bbc.co.uk/upload.
Upload. Get yourself on the BBC. Go to bbc.co.uk/upload and upload your content now.
So we're back and it's time for the second upload. We're going to have a little dip, a quick dip, if you will, into our archives. So Lottie from Brighton sent us this brilliant upload, and it's safe to say it's been inspired by the current situation we find ourselves in. It's a comedic letter from a mother to her child. Here is a letter from a quarantined mum. Mummy's soul has also melted. I love that. That's that's a letter from a quarantined mum from Lottie in Brighton. Lottie, we feel your pain. Literally, that Lego, ouch. If you found inspiration in these, you know, times, or you're making creative content during lockdown, we'd love to hear it. Record it, upload it at bbc.co.uk/upload, and it could be featured here on the BBC. Oh, we love that here. La La Love Me, Lola Lennox, who sounds like her mom. And as Ollie said, what a powerful name. You don't say no to a Lola Lennox. It sounds like a superhero baddie name. I love it. Craig David, 7 days. Craig David and 7 days. That is still such a brilliant track. Let's see if the weather is quite as brilliant. Wednesday will begin cloudy with patchy rain and drizzle arriving later from the southwest, turning heavy overnight before clearing on Thursday, leaving a dry day with sunny spells. Overnight, another band of rain may move in from the west, but there is some uncertainty with this. Oh. Friday will turn dry for a time, however, and will be cloudy with outbreaks of rain later.
Phoebe Lynch. BBC. Radio Sussex.
Lady Gaga, Ariana Grande. I wish they'd put a little accent on the E, Rain On Me. So Gaga, again, was at the inauguration, wasn't she? That was really, wasn't that an incredible kind of event with everything going on? It just felt, I don't know, it didn't feel as abnormal as I thought it would feel. I couldn't stop watching it. I loved it. You know what's happening now. So I'm having to trust producer Ollie here, but I'm going to. There's an old saying in Sussex, he tells me, we won't be druv. We won't be druv. And apparently it means people in Sussex are hardy folk and you can't make them do what they don't want to do. You'll see the phrase a lot around Lewis. It's the motto of a few bonfire societies. And it's also the strapline for Harvey's Brewery. Louis Reed is from Sussex and has deep family roots here, and as part of his thesis he wanted to investigate what it means to be from Sussex. So here is the introduction to his thesis, and here is We Won't Be Druv.
Live and local.
Upload.
BBC Radio Sussex.
I could barely understand my Uncle Keith, who spoke with such a strong Sussex dialect that to my ears, his words came out as mumbles and groans. Everyone else around me seemed to understand him just fine. He is now with many of my other relatives on my mum's side, in a graveyard not far from the village in which he spent his life. The dialect that he spoke, now with one less speaker. I had made my way further into the dyke, heading towards its lowest point, a location called the Devil's Grave, which would be my final destination. From here, the sides of the valley towered high above me. I stopped and sat down on a pile of ruined bricks, which I later found out were once part of a funicular railway which ran up the end of the dike. I thought about the reasons why I started this project. Growing up, I heard many stories about how this place has changed over the years, and how when my parents and their parents grew up, it was like a different world. This, and all the other stories that I heard, made me want to investigate deeper into what it meant to be from here, and to try and find my place in it. However, part of me thinks that I might be too late.
No, it's not too late. I love this. I love the sound of that. That was Louis Reed with his thoughts on what it means to be from Sussex. Why don't you record yourself chatting about your hometown? So it could be, I don't know, a monologue from Maresfield, a ditty from Dorking, or even some prose from Petersfield. We would love to hear it. Pop over to bbc.co.uk/upload. Ed Sheeran and the 80. Ed Sheeran and the 80, or Ed Sheeran if you're my brother Dan. I can't stop thinking about Louis Reed's piece, We Want Be Druv. I'd love to, wouldn't that just be extraordinary to really delve into your family roots? But is anyone just from one place? It's a lot of work if you're not, isn't it? It would be so interesting, though. I was chatting to some people today, and they were from Birmingham. They're in Birmingham. And my mum was born in Birmingham. And I had to say to them, I had no idea where she was born. I think she went to London, I think, when she was a baby. But I don't know whereabouts or anything like that. And I've never even been to Birmingham. I mean, come on, it's, what, 2 hours away, 3 hours away? So I'd love to do that. I'd love to do something about looking into my family tree. I wonder what it... I bet there's royalty. I'm not even joking. You know, I call myself Dame BB Lynch. What if there's a dame? Wow. And talking of the dame, that wasn't intentional. Talking of the dame, let's end tonight's uploads by replaying our featured upload from last week. We loved it, and we loved the track, and we loved the story behind it, and we loved chatting to the creator. Let's hear this great tribute to David Bowie from Tim Izzard from Hailsham. We love that here. That was Tim Izzard's tribute to David Bowie. And if you're making music generally, of course, please send it to BBC Introducing, Melita's fabulous show on Wednesdays, and she'll play all your great stuff. But if you're making musical tributes, as Tim was, or covers or comedy songs, we'd love to hear them. Head over to bbc.co.uk/upload. Texas and High. And here's Pink and Get the Party Started. I love that laugh at the end. Pink and Get the Party Started. What would you do at a party? When parties happen again, I wouldn't know what to do. I'd be a nuisance. I'd be a liability. I wouldn't know what to say, what to drink, what to wear. Oh, I miss having fun. Primal Scream, though, moving on up. This is what I'd play at a party. Primal Scream and Moving On Up. So I have to say goodbye. I've had a lovely show. I'll tell you why. I've got a new handyman on speed dial. Thank you, Steve. I had an exclusive Crumhorn moment, I don't even know if that's a real thing. And we chatted to two brilliant guests, Brendan Cleary and Duncan Sanderson. Thank you for joining us. We're back next week on Monday from 8 to 10. And producer Ollie has told me about the guest. And I'm really excited because I genuinely think this person is going to change my life, change my world, certainly change my dinner parties. I hope you have a lovely week, and we will see you next week. BBC Radio Sussex, BBC Radio Surrey, live and local with BB Lynch. Take care. This is Jessie J and Price Tag.